Are you finding yourself stuck or frustrated with your meal planning or lack thereof? Maybe you're trying to overcomplicate things, or perhaps you really haven't thought about how to better streamline your approach when you're meal planning. If any of this is hitting a chord with you, then you're in the right place for this week's episode of the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Dina Griffin, and my co-host, Bob Sibahar. We're both registered dietitians and board certified specialists in sports dietetics with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. We're here to translate nutrition and sports science research to real life, give you some awesome interviews along the way to enhance your knowledge and optimize your health, fitness, and athletic performance. On today's episode, we're giving you a simplified six-step method for how to approach your own meal planning, as well as giving you some of our own ideas for how we put together meals and snacks. So this is going to help streamline, automate your meal planning process. It also reduces your brain drain for meal prep and can simplify your grocery shopping experience. Real quick, before we get to the show, check out All Around Snack Co., which is the food company founded by our sports dietitian, Bob Sibahar. All Around Snack Co. has super tasty snacks, low in added sugars, no dyes, no colorings or additives. These snacks really do help control blood sugar for steady energy levels throughout the day, and the snacks are great for kids, families, athletes, really everybody. So check out the goodies over at allaroundsnackco.com, and if you want to save a few bucks, you can use the code ISNPODCAST24 at checkout to save 15%. All right, listeners, thank you so much for being here. Please enjoy this episode 112.
Well, Dina, how many times have you stood in front of your refrigerator with the door or doors open, completely mystified on maybe why you're standing there, but more importantly, what you're going to do next? How many times has that happened to you?
Oh, Bob, I mean, it's been less over the years, I'll say, but definitely there are times, you know, when you're not in your groove, don't have the zone going or whatever. And it's, yeah, when that happens though, it's just kind of defeating. And
maybe you
way.
Haven't had your morning cup of coffee yet. Your brain's not stimulated, right?
Yes, that is a downside when that occurs. So we try to minimize that.
It's interesting what you just said, when I first asked you that question, because you said not so much now. Mm-hmm. Is that because like of your learning and like as we all age, of course, we become more mature and I think we become much more educated. At least I'm going with that, right? Is that why?
I think partly understanding what kind of behavior and system needs to be in place to just make everything more efficient. And then, with years of experience. Okay, throw in some knowledge in there or just knowing where you want to put your time. Do I want to stand in front of the fridge without a plan or forethought? Or, do I want to maybe spend some extra minutes here kind of dumbfounded? What's happening next?
Exactly.
So, a combination of things. What about you, Bob?
Well, this is why we're talking about this today, listeners. We're talking all about meal planning, meal ideas, but we're not just going to throw out the whole, there's a piece of chicken, there's some steak, there's some pinto beans, like whatever. I echo what you said. And like, I have a system and I've developed a system that I use personally, but also with my athletes. And I think that's what meal planning is really all about. Like with every single athlete, I don't care how old or young they are, could be college, could be our master's athletes, our super busy executives, maybe people who are purchasing the meal planning services, which I think a lot of those are fantastic, by the way. I think what it comes down to is really maybe I hear this a lot, Dee, and I fall victim to this too. Like, the time is such an issue. It really is. Like, it's we can't get time back, right? And you know, you look at that and you're working, and maybe you're working out of the house, and you come home and you're like, man, I don't have time to make dinner. And that's why we pick up dinner. These meals or meal services are easy. So with me, it's really about following the system that I've got, that we're going to share with you today, listeners, because it makes it so much easier. And not that it takes the time challenge off the plate. There's still a time challenge because, listen, you still have to, I don't care what you do. You can drive through or whatever. There's still time doing that. Or sure. You can go home and prepare something or just put something in the microwave. There's still time involved. We get that, right? But what we're going to try to do is minimize that challenge, that time challenge. So listeners, you can just really just attack this 2024 and this new year and just be like, man, I am confident with my meal planning. I almost hate to say meal planning, Dee, because I don't really do a lot of meal planning, right? And I get it. Like, if people do it and they love it, fantastic. I teach it. I love teaching it. But I'm kind of like you. Like, I've developed these innate abilities to, as I've gotten older, to be able to stand at the fridge and be like, okay, 30 seconds. Like, I know what's coming together now based on what I have. And we've all been there before. I don't know how many times a week you go to the grocery store, Dee, but you know, towards that last couple of days and you're like, whoa, it's pretty bare bones in here, right?
Yes. You know what? You brought up something important, Bob, is what we think of when we hear the phrase meal planning, right? Because I think, and I've fallen into this too, like, meal planning only means the actual recipe for each meal. Breakfast is going to be this, lunch is this. Instead, what we're, I think, getting at here is the system behind that. And you can, of course, build in the recipes you want, but it's more kind of higher level, but it feeds into making this whole process so much more efficient, easy and automated, in a sense, to, in the end, we're just trying to nourish ourselves best as we can to support whatever our health and performance goals are. And so I think just thinking of that phrase maybe in a different light is helpful here.
Yeah, it's less stressful if you think about it, right? Because you're like, oh gosh, I've got to cut vegetables and I've got to cook this. And how long is that going to take? And again, there's still a little bit of a time component, but let's break this episode into two. And listeners, here's what we're going to do. We're first going to teach you kind of the system, the method, right? Because once you have this, you can be confident in that wherever you go, it doesn't have to be home. It could be work. It could be outside in a restaurant and a, you know, takeout facility, wherever. And you can still use this method. And that's the beautiful thing. You can use it as at an airport, a hotel, like, doesn't matter. So maybe we'll start with the method and then break it down into kind of putting us in the hot seat and using the method for giving our listeners some sample meals mm-hmm. and snacks that follow this system. Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, people really just, you know, I think we get bored sometimes because we kind of get stuck in our habits and we're like, oh, we always have oatmeal for breakfast, and because I don't know what else to have. Well, that's what we're going to try to break in this episode, right? We're going to try to give you these ideas, but let's start with this system.
Sounds good. Bob, let's break it down.
All right. So when I approach this with people, and I, again, I think you know this, Dee, but hopefully our listeners do by now, like, simple is sustainable. I don't want anything to be, I don't want you to think too much about it because then just, you know, weird things happen or you get distracted or whatever. And I don't need you to have like these luxurious, you know, epic ingredients. I don't need you to be a culinary chef. I'm not one. Dina, you're not one, right? So I always kind of break it down into what is simple. So the method really starts with supporting my favorite topic that I always love to talk about is metabolic efficiency training, right? So we're talking about blood sugar control. You all know this. If you've been listening to our podcast for a couple of years, you know how intent we are about choosing food to optimize blood sugar for many reasons, right? But you should probably be aware that the first step in this method is, dun, 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 choose your protein source. How important is protein, Dee? Like,
it's the root of, you know, blood sugar stabilization and so much more, right? As we've talked about in other episodes. But yeah, it's the key to setting off the meal to be, filling, well-rounded.
And you know, I do want to make note of our plant-based listeners also, because I think a lot of people hear protein, they're like, oh, well, I don't eat meat. That's okay. That's okay. Like, we'll come up with some ideas. You know, we'll put us, like I said, in the hot seat, and we'll come up with some plant-based ideas too. But protein can be animal-based, can be plant-based. So that is like the hub of the wheel if we're talking about a bicycle reference, right? So the next step in this method is really number two, is identifying color. So you want to add color to your protein. And what that means, hopefully it's obvious, but vegetables and fruits, right? Now, there's going to be a little bit of a sidebar at times, because it does depend on your goals, your health goals, your fitness, your training goals, weight, body composition goals, right? Vegetables over fruit versus fruit over vegetables. Sometimes you'll hear us say that in a different order, because even though they both contribute the fantastic carbohydrate macronutrient, they do so in different levels sometimes, right? So if you take like a cup of spinach versus a banana, right? The cup of spinach is not going to have as many carbohydrates as the banana, but they're still equally beneficial, right? So I just wanted to throw that out, Dee, because in context, I just want to make sure people understand, number one, that colorful foods are carbohydrates, and they provide this wonderful nutrient called fiber. So what do we know about fiber and blood sugar, Dee?
I mean, fiber is very essential to stabilizing blood sugar. I mean, it's like the undigested, for the most part, matter in these plant foods that we're feeding the gut microbiome, right, that we've talked about before. It slows digestion a little bit. So again, that's supporting that blood sugar stabilization outcome that we're looking for. And so, you know, numerous benefits right there. But even if we just wanted to go down the route of bowel health and regularity and so forth. So fibers are essential for so many reasons. And of course, that's why we're putting it there as a high priority after selecting our protein for our meal that's to come.
Super high priority. And you know, our plant-based listeners will know this, of course, but and they'll be like, wait, I do that. That's easy. But what I've noticed, Dee, and this could be just purely anecdotal, is that a lot of omnivores really don't eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, and myself included. It's tough sometimes. Like, I get it, right? I mean, depending on where you live, like we're in Colorado, it's winter. It's, you know, we don't have great produce right now. We've got apples and oranges and you know, everything else is just ugh, in terms of fruit, right? We've got some good vegetables, but I just feel like that's why I put that as number two, like the top carbohydrate, is because we just forget about it so much, right?
Yes, definitely. And then, of course, just real quick, Bob, the color aspect, right? As many people know, the different colors represent different sets of micronutrients. And so just thinking of health benefits and all those other aspects of fruits and vegetables that we get as bonus points.
Yeah. You know, it's hard sometimes. Like, do you ever go to the grocery store and you're in the vegetable aisle, you know, all the produce, and you're like, there is so much here. And maybe a 25% of the things I've never heard of, right? Or I have no, or maybe I've heard of it, but I don't know how to cook it. I don't know what to do with that. So I think we're very standoffish. Like, I'll be that way sometimes. I'm like, listen, I don't even want to deal with it. But then sometimes I'm kind of adventurous. I'm like, oh, Yakima. All right, let's buy that and then figure it out later.
I know. That reminds me, Bob, I bought some fresh horseradish root the other day
Oh,
because I have
interesting.
used the jar.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was like, ooh, let's just shred this and put it in this little cocktail sauce for some shrimp.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's similar. And then just a quick fun story. I always thought a fun job, you know, should anyone ever want to pursue such a career, which I don't think would pay very well, but I always thought a fun job would be to be in the produce section, like as a host, and kind of like, hello, what are you looking for today? And can I
Yeah.
assist you? And, ooh, look at this vegetable, and just being this encyclopedia of
Yeah.
produce that could help people just for this reason. Like, I don't know what this thing is or what I do
Yeah.
with it, but I
Or like
wanna.
highlighting one vegetable a week at the store so we actually know what to do with it.
I
Like,
mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
uber nerdy, but anyways,
Yeah.
I always thought that
Yeah.
would be a
That would
fun
be
job.
fun. Maybe we'll see Dina in the grocery store in the near future. In the
Maybe as a
produce
volunteer.
aisle. Yeah, exactly.
Oh gosh.
All right. So that's step two. So step three is kind of, there's some wiggle room here. And what I mean there is that sometimes it's going to be extremely important and other times maybe not as much. So step three are our whole grains and starches. And I do want to just define that really quick, is we're talking about usually the darker color grains, right? So think of like darker breads, whole wheat pasta versus white pasta. We want to try to stay away from as much as possible the refined processed grains only because there aren't as many nutrients, right? There's not as much fiber, there's not as much vitamins, minerals. So there's a time and a place for the white pastas and the white breads, totally. But with the whole grains and starches being step three, they're a great source of carbohydrates, just like fruits and vegetables, step two. What I say with the wiggle room is it kind of depends on training cycle, right? Because there are times where we need more carbohydrates and it's tough to get all of your, I'm going to personally say this, it's tough to get the carbohydrates you need when you're in a really heavy training load just from fruits and vegetables, right? You need some extra help. You need some breads, you need some pastas, you need some grains, right? But that's where we'd like to periodize this step. So if you're like in base training or in your off season, maybe you don't need a lot of whole grains, but as you ramp up your training, you do need to satisfy more of your carbohydrate needs.
Yes. Agreed. Looking at what your exercise demands are, where you are in your season, just saying what you're saying, but yeah, that category of starches and whole grains may shift in terms of amounts or placement within a week or so.
And I just want to throw this out here, Dee, because step one is protein. Step two and three provide the same exact macronutrient, that being carbohydrates. Unfortunately, I think carbohydrates, as we all know, are kind of getting a bad rap. And what I see is when people think of carbohydrates, they're thinking grains and starches. They're not thinking fruits and vegetables. So just remember, everyone, fruits, vegetables, and grains and starches are all carbohydrates, but you just need to periodize those accounting for your training cycle, your health goals. Like that's where we kind of need to take a step back.
Yes. Makes sense.
Step four is, I call it my secret weapon, and it's probably the easiest thing you can do, but it's hard because we never think of it. And that is using herbs and spices and I challenge the athletes I work with, Dee, every single time you put something in your mouth, see if you can have an herb and or spice with it.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
It's tough.
Do you want to expand on that or wait till we get to a few other examples?
No, we could totally expand on that. Are you talking about like why we want herbs and spices?
Yes.
So what do we know about herbs and spices? And I forgot what episodes these were when we talked to our wonderful friend Amanda with Nutrigenomics, right? And that's kind of the path we're going on. But herbs and spices will trigger certain genes in the body to have different effects. And some of those great effects are actually reducing oxidation and inflammation. So in my mind, that's why it's a secret weapon. Like if we're all training, we're all exercising, we're all building up a lot of oxidation and inflammation in our body, and our body can handle that to a certain extent, except when it can't. And that's where we just need a little bit of help from our friends or herbs and spices. And that will help kind of reduce, kind of keep us more in a homeostatic balance, if you will.
And it doesn't have to be a lot, right, Bob? No. I mean, we're talking
sprinkle
like
one dash.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it can be dried. That's okay. It counts.
Yeah. It does not have to be fresh, has to be dry. And but here's the thing, like, the first hurdle here, the first challenge is, and I hear this all the time with my younger athletes is, well, I don't have spices. Well, go out to the grocery store and buy some pepper. I mean, you know what I mean? or buy some cinnamon or ginger, but we'll come up with this in our food ideas. Because we're going to try to implement these six steps in every food idea we have. Right. But in my mind, it's pretty easy to use spices, to be honest with you. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty simple, right?
Definitely.
Okay. Number five, we're on fifth step now. This is pretty obvious, and it's something we need sometimes more so at certain times of the year based on where you live and your training, but it's fluids. It's just fluids and hydration. And this one, I think it's a lot of kind of pushback, doesn't it, Dee? Because people automatically think water and they're like, oh, I don't like water.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter if you like water. I mean, should you drink water? Yeah, you should drink water. But there are so many I mean, there's, think back, you know, 10, 20 years when we just had water and soda or pop, depending on what part of the country or world you're from, we didn't have a lot of these different options, right? But I feel like we've got seltzer waters, we have milk products, we have teas, we have coffees. I mean, there are so many ways to hydrate our body. I still feel, myself included, that we don't do a good job of that.
Yeah. I mean, even the tablets that you plop in, or the little powders or whatever. I mean, that's
the electrolytes.
If you need a little flavor, or you mix that with some seltzer and make your own little, you know, bubbly, that can serve many purposes there. And so, yeah, I think it's no excuses anymore. It's just hard. It is part of this process, right? And realizing the importance of it.
Okay. You just brought up something that my mouth started watering. So I have to share this. One of my favorite drinks throughout the day is I get a big shaker bottle and I put water. I put about half water. So maybe 12 ounces, 14 ounces or so of water. Then I put about a tablespoon of tart cherry juice concentrate.
I've been doing the same thing, Bob. Yeah.
But wait, then I put the cap on, I shake it, and then I open it up again. And then I pour some, it's usually lime flavored seltzer water.
Yes.
Oh nice. My gosh. It is so good. It's like a little cocktail.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love similar concoction. I've just that little bit of that tart cherry and the bubbly combined, just so refreshing.
Exactly. Okay. So we're on five of six. So the last step is actually one of my favorites, to be honest with you, and it is misses. So I call these misses. I call them speed bumps. What I would really encourage you listeners not to call them are cheat meals, cheat foods, cheat days, because it just has such a negative connotation. Misses are exactly that. You miss your target, you miss it, you go over a speed bump where you kind of slow down and then you speed up right after you hit the speed bump. So misses, Dina, I'm going to put you on the spot. Why are misses actually important to include in our daily, or maybe not daily nutrition plan, but in our nutrition plan?
Well, we don't want to avoid foods that would fall into this category, because that can set us up for this restricted mindset that we can't eat certain foods. I mean, they're, as part of a healthy food relationship, is just realizing that misses, which we'll give us some examples of, but they're not any big deal, right? They're there to be enjoyed as part of our healthy relationship. It's unique to each person what that looks like. But I would just say overall, we're looking for, I'm not going to use the word balance, but we're just looking for like some sustainability here in our nutrition plan for the long haul. So we want to include these misses for enjoyment, social gatherings, pleasure, all the things. And that just makes the whole long haul more sustainable, I feel.
I love that you didn't use the word balance. And I love that you didn't use the word justified. Because don't you feel like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I can have that because I just ran for an hour or whatever, right? They're justifying their misses. I think those are the wrong reasons to have misses. I think exactly what you said is the enjoyment, the maybe the social factor, the fact that you just want a cake donut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want a cake donut, actually. Hold on. I'll be back in a minute.
This is funny because listeners, if you don't know me yet, I love cake donuts, love them to death. And in the last month of 2023, I actually had, I went to the grocery store and they were having this little thing, right? So you could get a donut, you can get a free donut every week, right? And I was like, oh, you know, that's kind of interesting. And I looked at the psychology of it. I'm like, yeah, I don't care about the psychology. I'm like, I want a cake donut. So it was so funny because I come home and my wife and I would split a cake donut and just like, you know what? It's just one of those moments that you share. It's just, you know, it's And did I feel bad, Dee?
Oh, I'm guessing not, right?
No, so good. And it was just something, right? But here's the thing, like, you know, I didn't buy a box of cake donuts. I literally left the store with one cake donut in a bag, which kind of, it was kind of weird because I had to use this huge bag for one donut.
Oh.
And I, like, even the checkout person was like, what's in the bag? I'm like, one donut. And he looked at me like, huh? just one.
I, you know what, something's come to mind here because you went through the six steps, right? Protein, color, starches, whole grain, herbs and spices, hydration, and misses. So
yes,
I'm
there's
wondering,
something missing, isn't there?
I know. I'm wondering if the listener is like, what? He didn't mention fat.
Yeah.
What about fat?
What about fat? Well, fat is so important, right? But it's one of those words where like, oh gosh, is that a bad word? Is it a good word now? Or which side of the fence are you on? Are you on the keto side, LCHF? Are you on the high carb side? Fat is so important. Here's my take, Dee. It's so important. We know this, and we've talked about this before, but there are different types of fat, right? And we're not going to go into that lesson right now. But the reason why I don't highlight fat is because if you are an omnivore, at least, you are including fat in your daily nutrition plan whenever you eat protein. And because protein is numero uno in this system, you should be getting ample protein throughout the day, which means you should be getting ample fat. Now, there are some howevers before we get to the plant-based athletes. If you're an omnivore and you're choosing, skim milk, no fat, like 0% yogurt, 0% fat yogurt, if you're trying to like cut the fat out of your proteins, I hear what you're doing. I hear it, right? But maybe not as much, right? So maybe you can compromise. Maybe it's 1% skim milk, or maybe it's, 2% low-fat Greek yogurt kind of a thing. But I get it. Like, I get the whole fat thing. In that case, and this kind of bleeds over into our plant-based athletes, is yes, it may be extremely important to add some fats into your daily nutrition plan. So my favorites are olive oil, avocado oil, nuts. Those are my like go-to. But here's the thing I've seen with plant-based athletes. They're already doing that, Dee. I mean, do you agree? For the most part?
I would think so. Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, yeah. there are some. I mean, we've both worked with vegans and vegetarians, and like we both seen the ones who are really low fat, and we did have to kind of bump up their fat intake because fat is very important for many body processes. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could, if you want to wordsmith it, you could make that first step protein/fat, mm-hmm. right? Because you're going to get some fat in those protein sources for the most part.
Good. I just want to mention that for anyone that was thinking, where is this in the priority list, or how's that work into the system?
It's good because usually when I present this to athletes, it takes a while. Like after we start talking about, they're like, and you can see that thought process like, wait a second, did we talk about fat at all?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got six steps. So take us through the six steps again, Dee. What are they?
Okay. So protein is number one. And then where you have color, fruits and veg. Or veg and fruits. Mm-hmm. And then we've got our starch and whole grain as number three, herbs and spices, number four, hydration is five. Misses would be our sixth category. And then that fat thing is kind of worked into the protein piece.
Okay, so now we've got the system. We've got the method. Listeners, you have this tried and true, bulletproof for the most part method. Now, are there going to be times where you slip from the six steps? Yeah. I mean, that's life, right? I mean, my thing is if you can hit these things 90% of the time, you're doing fantastic, right? 10% of the time, listen, things are going to happen. Holidays, birthdays, travel, vacations, whatever, right? But I want you to make sure that you're trying to really set your sights on 90% of the time. You're going to try to really follow these six steps when you're trying to choose meals, prepare meals, or order meals when you're out. So, Dee, anything to add to that before we put ourselves on the hot seat and come up with some meals?
I suppose one thing I did just think of, Bob, is something, you taught me this way a million years ago. I almost said back in the day.
Oh, back
for
in the,
you.
You can say it. You can say it. We can check that box.
Back in the day, just a simple system is like, oh, okay, wait, they're saying protein is the priority here. It's just writing out all your proteins, right? Yes. And just making these lists for yourself. It can be on your phone or, handwritten, whatever, but just going through so you really can see visually in whatever way, digitally or not, just this, there are hundreds of foods to choose from that fall into these categories and herbs and spices, but that can be just a reference sheet as you kind of adopt the system and get it ingrained in the brain.
That's so true. Yeah. I mean, I've got that as actually a downloadable thing for my athletes is just a performance shopping list, which mm-hmm. actually turns into your meal list. So listeners, if you take all six categories, put them as columns, and then just fill in like protein. Like I always tell people, like, just write down what you like. Like if you don't like chicken, don't put chicken down on the list. Right. But usually when that ends up happening is you see where where the deficiencies are, and I'm not talking nutrient deficiencies, I'm talking more taste preference deficiencies, right? So, oh yeah, I don't like chicken, or maybe I'm plant-based. So your protein is tofu, it's chickpeas, it's seeds, it's nuts, you know, those kind of things. And and you're like, oh wow, we need to find some other proteins, right? But it's a great, you know, kind of addition to, instead of just going to the grocery store, I don't know if you do this, Dee, but I still use a list. I've always used a list.
Same.
And I've really tried to do it on my phone, but I just find, I don't know, it's my brain, because back in the days, I've always done pen and paper because we never had phones back then, right?
Right. So,
but now, instead of like listing, oh, milk and eggs and tofu and apples on the same line, because here's the thing, like, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but when I go to the grocery store, I mean, yeah, I'm a dietitian. I kind of like to see what's going on, but I don't like to spend a lot of time in the grocery store. Nobody does. Well, not many people do, unless you're an ART registered dietitian who works in a grocery store. Okay.
Right.
That said, so I want to go with a plan. Like, so I know, like in my color category, fruits and vegetables, I know exactly which ones I'm going for. So when I hit produce, boom, 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 I'm going, right?
Yeah.
When I hit the meat category, I know exactly what I'm getting. So then it's, I find that I can spend probably 10 to 20 minutes less time in the grocery store if I'm organized. And that's where this list comes into play.
It's streamlining the process, making your shopping experience more automated, easy, especially if the store stresses you out, you know, that's just like another way to facilitate the whole goal of what we're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. We should actually do an episode on grocery store shopping. Let's add that someday.
That's going to be like top notch podcast listening across
for
the world.
For sure.
Yes.
Although people, I mean, I don't know if you do this now, Dee, because I try to kind of, you know, dip my toe into both pools, right? The one pool is going into the grocery store and shopping, and the other is like the pickup now. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool, right? I get to shop online.
Yeah.
And then they shop for me in the store. I go park, they come out, there are my groceries. Voila. Now, there are some challenges to this, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, because I think that's a great episode for us to kind of pick that apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do
that. Okay. So anyway, so let's go. So you've got the list, we've got the steps. Let's start just through the day. Let's start with breakfast. How can we utilize these six? And sometimes it's not going to be all six, right? You're not going to have misses every single meal or every single day, but I've got a super easy one for breakfast, unless you want to take it first.
You go first.
Okay. Well, I actually just had this for breakfast, and that's why it's so easy for me to say, right? So smoothies. Yay. How much do we like smoothies, Dina?
So much.
So much. So much that we actually co-authored an electronic smoothie recipe book with 85 smoothie recipes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also based on the carbohydrate to protein ratio. So now we have some that are carbohydrate controlled. We have some higher carb, all depending on what you need, listeners. So of course you can, that's on the side. We can put that in the show notes, but here was my smoothie in the morning. So let's go through this protein. I'm going to go through the steps. I'm not going to take you through like how I put the ingredients in.
Okay.
I'm going to go through the steps, because this is what we're trying to teach people, is like identify, okay, where's the protein? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So my protein was protein powder and peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My color was spinach and blueberries, frozen blueberries to be exact.
Got it.
My grain, there was not a grain in there, right? I just didn't need it. And I mean, you could put oats in. That's an easy grain to hit in there, but I just didn't do that this morning.
Yeah.
Herbs and spices, simple cinnamon. Cinnamon goes in almost every smoothie I make, unless it's more of a ginger flavor smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's my herbs and spices. Fluid, I used almond milk and water.
Nice.
And fluid, almond milk, water. You know, misses? Nope, didn't have a miss.
Okay. Yeah, you nailed the system.
I could probably put a miss, but why in a smoothie, right?
Yeah.
So there's a system.
Bam.
So I didn't have a whole grain, but I could have easily put like oats in there if I wanted to. And I didn't have a miss because, well, I just didn't need a miss in my smoothie. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So they're super easy, blended up, done in 5 minutes. Like literally that will take you maybe 10 minutes tops, because you actually have to wash the blender.
Simple. Okay. I will say a chewable instead of drinkable breakfast idea that I kind of go through here. And in the system, it is a kind of breakfasty theme here. So like protein is egg. So whole eggs mixed with liquid egg white as the primary protein. And this is like a scramble, I'll call it, Bob. I make this often for breakfast. And you know, you can make double or triple for the next few days. So anyways, protein, eggs, egg white combo. There might be some cheese like feta or mozzarella in there. And then color, I usually throw in a big handful of spinach or power green mix. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes bell pepper. So that's kind of color. On the side, though, will be a fruit. So like this morning, two clementines.
Okay.
I didn't scramble those in because that's not my gig.
No. Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong. So whole grain or starch category with where I personally am in training, I don't need a whole lot of that. And not like for the day in this example, like my exercise is later in the day. So I just didn't throw in a whole grain or starch to this. It just wasn't part of, you know, needing more carbohydrate beyond what was in the fruit and the veg. And then herbs and spices. I mean, it's a pepper and salt kind of thing. But I will say now and then I'll throw in a little dash, like a herb blend, just one of those, you know, blend, just like a hydration is, you know, separate on the side. So coffee, water kind of thing. But the scramble, right? It's so versatile. If you have an egg base, you can throw in whatever leftover veg or have side of fruit. I mean, there's so many combinations, but that's a simple, again, it's 10 minutes or less to throw all that together and cook it up and enjoy that for a first meal of the day.
I love it. I have one more because it's one of my other favorite. It is a chewable for me. So we've all heard of avocado toast before.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's my setup. So what I will do is I will cook a few eggs, and usually I do 4 eggs, by the way, and I'll fry them. And then I will toast or air fry, whatever your choice is, some whole grain bread, some whole wheat bread. And it's usually 2 slices of whole grain bread, 4 eggs. And I put 2 eggs on each, but I will actually put some avocado. So I'll mush up an avocado like guacamole, and I'll use that as my spread on my bread. Okay. So the bread is toasted. Where's the protein? Eggs. Where's the color? Avocado. But here's the kicker. I also put kimchi on here.
Kimchi
is just fermented cabbage. Great probiotic for the tum-tum, the digestive system. And it's a color, like it's a vegetable, right? So that's how I incorporate the protein is eggs. The color is kimchi and avocado. And we know avocado is a fruit, right? The whole grain are whole grain or whole wheat toast. And then the herbs and spices, I go crazy when I fry my eggs. So it's pepper, it's a little bit of salt. It's usually kind of depending on what I'm wanting. It's basil and oregano, most likely. And then my fluid is on the side. Like you said, it's either, as we've talked about in previous episodes, it's either rotating caffeinated coffee, decaf coffee, yerba mate, matcha. I'll go through all sorts of things, green tea, depending on the flavor of the day, right?
Yeah.
And then the mist, so that's my fluid. Then the mist, I don't have a mist with that. I just feel like, I don't know, for my digestive system, I can't do mists early in the morning because it'll really mess my system up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, perfect.
I like my mists later in the day.
Excellent.
So we've got 2 chewables and 1 drinkable.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to add in one other quickie here, Bob, that's kind of breakfasty because we think of cereals and grains, oatmeal or overnight oats kind of thing. But I mean, the name alone is like, where's the protein? We're skipping where's the color? So I would say an example there that I often will make, like I'll do the overnight oats because just personally, I like cold mixes more, but tight fitting, you know, mason jar kind of thing. And so we're thinking protein, where is the protein? That often for me would be like my whey isolate powder. It might be like a half scoop or a couple tablespoons, and then peanut butter powder. I also would get protein in the milk that I add, but that's also serving our hydration piece. So there kind of knocks three or so of the proteins. And then maybe now and then there's like some chopped walnuts or some, you know, other kind of seed, chia or hemp seed added. And then as far as like, how do you put color into an overnight oats? That would be, you know, your frozen fruit that you could add, frozen cherries or strawberries or fresh, any kind of berry or whatever is something that I will use in that kind of mix. I often don't put vegetable in an overnight oats, but I suppose that's possible. Mm-hmm. And then the grain being the oats, the old fashioned oats, right? And then herbs and spices. I personally like pumpkin pie spice or additional cinnamon. And then the hydration would be the milk, soy milk or an almond milk kind of thing. And so, yeah, shaking all that up is another like one pot wonder sort of thing, but it's nailing that protein that we're talking about. And so that's doable for these kind of overnight concoctions or porridges.
Totally doable. That's so easy too. I mean, so many athletes like love the overnight oats, I think, as long as they know what to put in it. But again, following the system is pretty easy right now.
Yeah.
Let me kind of turn around a little bit for our plant-based athletes that are listening. So there are two breakfast options that we mentioned that can be easily maneuvered into plant-based. The first is my smoothie I mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Use a plant-based protein powder and you've got it. Like that's easy, right?
Yeah.
So just because my protein powder is also whey protein isolate, but it can easily be a vegan-based protein powder.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, what you just said with the overnight oats is, yeah, you can switch to like a vegan-based protein powder, but here's a little secret. You can also put tofu in overnight oats or oatmeal. And not a lot of people realize that.
Yeah.
Like tofu, you can put in a smoothie also. Tofu, once you crumble it and you mix it in there, one, you don't feel that texture, which kind of turns off people a little bit, that kind of that weird texture, like a cottage cheese texture. So tofu is, as long as you just kind of crunch it and, you know, kind of separate with a fork, it can easily be a protein source in an overnight oats or just an oatmeal that is plant-based.
That is something I should try, Bob.
It's good. It's good. Like tofu, like I will always have at least one or two packages of tofu in the fridge because there's just so much you can do with it.
Yeah.
Right? And where it doesn't taste like tofu. And tofu is great because it picks up the flavor of anything you use it with.
It's
but,
true.
You know, a lot of people just don't like the sliminess of the soybean curd.
Exactly. Do you want to go through a couple other meal examples and how this applying this system?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to lunch.
Okay.
First, and then we'll go to snacks. Okay. So lunches, and I'll start because it's one of my favorites, my go-to, which I think is kind of American based, but it's literally just a sandwich, although I like wraps, right? So a lot of times when we cook meat, we'll cook extra depending on how many kiddos are home, right? So we have leftovers. So this is where I use a leftover chicken or ground beef, or usually not ground beef, but something like that. So let's just call it like leftover chicken. Now, can you use deli meat? Yes. And I'm not going to get into the trials and tribulations of the preservatives and everything in deli meat. So let's just save that for another episode. But yes, you can certainly use deli meat. But I just happen to use kind of the leftover, you know, chicken. I'll either crumble it up or cut it in strips. So that's the protein. The color is, I pack it with tomatoes and cucumber and spinach. And if I have bean sprouts or those are my favorite thing, vegetables to pack it with. And then the whole grain is, I usually just use a whole grain or a whole wheat tortilla. I love wraps to death because I just love burritos. And then herbs and spices, I'll always dash basil and oregano and pepper. It's just,
nice. It
might be my Italian heritage, whatever, but I just love those spices to death. Fluid is always usually a water or a tart cherry juice seltzer combo, like we talked about earlier, or maybe some electrolytes and some water. And then what am I missing here? Misses. I usually don't have misses at that time either.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, earlier when we were talking about the system, it's kind of those top three or four.
It really is.
Like hydration always needs to be there, of course.
Totally.
But that sounds so good, Bob. I'm trying not to drool as we're recording this. Yeah. I'll give one and I'll just try and go through this a little more bullet point. So for a lunch idea, protein would be a can of tuna, like the white chunk, light tuna canned in water. It's kind of like a tuna salad. So protein is tuna, but I'll throw in a little hummus in there to kind of like mix it up. And then for color, I'll throw in often chopped carrots, radish, bell pepper, and then starch, whole grain, category would be, there might be like a piece of whole grain toast, you know, that I'll put this on and kind of eat it with, you know, fork and knife kind of thing. Herbs and spices. I love dill. And so I'll throw in some dill into this mix. But yeah, that is pretty straightforward and simple and very quick to make.
Super quick. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're getting at, is that quick and easy, right? And you can, both the examples, I'm sorry, were you done with your
meal?
Okay. Both of our examples can easily be made into plant-based. So you can swap my chicken with hummus, garbanzo beans, black beans, any type of beans, right? Put some seeds on there. Same thing with yours. You can swap tuna with what kind of things?
I mean, I think of beans too, you know, is and you can mash those beans or kind of half mash, you know, so you get a little texture there. But yeah, I mean, white bean, chickpeas, or any kind of cooked bean is going to work okay in this instance.
Super simple. Yeah. So this is why, I mean, listeners, hopefully you're like, oh, you know what? This is making sense. And maybe you have that no duh moment, like, wow, what Dina and Bob are saying, that's easy. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Let's hit snacks. Cause this is kind of, I think, snacks. Where we stand in front of our pantry, we're at work, we're wherever. And we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Like that is, I feel like snacks could really destroy blood sugar because it's the most volatile eating period of the day. Okay. So snacks, protein. All right. Easy peasy. Like you go on your list and you're like, okay, well, any type of meat, check. Like it's kind of weird for a snack, but I have a lot of people like roll. Sometimes they'll even like roll some like avocado slices in deli turkey or chicken or something like that. Like that to me, that's simple. Like meat, check, easy. But you can like, I just think of things like Greek yogurt with some berries. I think that's an easy go-to snack. Like do a 2% fat plain Greek yogurt with some blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, whatever. Yeah. If you want a little crunch, you can put like some sunflower seeds in there if you want to, even hit some granola. Now, snacks don't always fit those three categories. I think if we're good at getting at least the protein with a carbohydrate with number two or number three, then we're pretty good. But I feel like our snacks, unfortunately, always gravitate towards two and three. And it's usually three without the one, which is the protein.
Well, or a miss category, you know, the snack, which is not bad. We're just saying like more times than not, right? We want to hit the protein category for our snack, not just a miss for most daily nutrition.
Yeah. And when do we usually have snacks? It's usually between lunch and dinner. And it's a very vulnerable time of the day for energy levels, for fatigue, for brain fog, for productivity. So that's actually the time of day where you need to really emphasize more protein because of the blood sugar stabilizing effect. So I would really highlight that for sure. There's a time and a place for misses, but I wouldn't have, like, back to my cake donut, I would not have a cake donut personally in the afternoon without some type of protein because I will crash hard.
Yeah, I definitely have to be mindful of that too, Bob. Or it just makes me really want more non-filling foods.
Right,
you know, it just sets off like, ooh, give me more of that.
Yes,
and I don't really get enough satiety or meet what the goal is for that purpose. Yeah.
You know, Dee, I've got a little, it's not a rule, but a little secret, I guess, I follow and this does not happen all the time. Let me just set that up. But when I have misses, like I'm just going back to the cake donuts as an example, when, you know, I try to plan my misses where after I just lovingly consume it, I try to at least be able to walk for a few minutes to help blood sugar regulation, if not exercise, because sometimes I'll actually jump on my bike after I hit a miss, because usually my digestive system is okay doing that versus like running. But that's the geek in me. I'm like, wow, if I'm gonna have a cake donut, can I just like walk around the block for, you know, 5 minutes or something? Because that does help tremendously in controlling blood sugar if you just have a miss by itself. That's just a little hack.
Yeah, that definitely can be a strategy.
Yeah. But what other, it's like, I feel like a lot of the snack foods these days, like people are, and again, I work with a variety of ages, so please excuse me, but things like goldfish and go-go squeezes, like fruit squeezes, you know, we've got like the chocolates, you know, or chocolate covered raisins or things like that. Like, I feel like those are so prominent in our society. And I will say there are some manufacturing companies, food manufacturers, who are getting a little more, I guess, smarter about this. But we're still faced with all of these choices that, like you were saying, they'll, if you eat them, they possibly will force you to eat more. And I know that sounds weird. Let me rephrase that. It'll encourage your body because it doesn't fill your body up, doesn't give your brain what it needs. So you'll continually be seeking those out. So yeah. Again, it's not a big deal if you do that, but I think you just need to know why you're doing it. I think a big part of misses are the why factor.
Yeah. And what is it satisfying? Like, what is it you're needing emotionally, mentally, yes, physically, you know, and then just paying attention to how you're honoring that.
Yeah. Now I will say, and I do know that you will appreciate my bias and my shameless plug for my snack company, All Around Snack Co., because that is literally why I formed this company. But, you know, there are products out there. If you need quick and easy to go, like, you can obviously, yes, look at my snack company. And, you know, listeners, you do get a great discount being an ISN podcast member. But other things, like just like the easy things, like nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, nuts are so easy. I mean, yeah, throw them in a baggie. Like, I always have my energy bites from All Around Snack Co. and I've got nuts. Like, those are everywhere, yeah, I go, just in case.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So nut butter discount packets too.
Yeah. Nut butter packets. I mean, those get, yeah, kind of messy sometimes, but
yeah,
but you can't discount like the good snacks out there that, and I say good, let me take that back. The snacks that promote more blood sugar control, mm-hmm, and things like nuts, nut butters, even yogurts, like those are fantastic things to start with your snacks.
Yes. And back to what is first on the list in the system, right? It's protein. So just trying to get that ingrained.
Yes.
As part of your protein, your snack that contains protein.
Yes, exactly.
As a primary goal.
Okay, let's round it up with dinner now. I feel like dinner is either horrible, because that's the time of the day, if you work not from home or traveling or whatever, you get home, you're like, the last thing I want to do is think about preparing anything. Mm. Or it could actually be the simplest meal, mm-hmm, because I don't know, I think of dinner as protein, color, and starch. It's really those first three steps, right?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people really kind of give themselves some pushback because they think they need to create a culinary masterpiece when you really don't. Like, cook some salmon, you know, have some quinoa and some broccoli, like, well, again, whatever your taste preferences are, but it doesn't have, like, that's the point of herbs and spices, is to, yeah, flavor these things. That's how we can get away with being boring in our food choices, but spice it up with herbs and spices to make it actually taste phenomenal.
I'm just chuckling because you said boring. Because Bob, if you were to, you know, stay at my house for a week, yeah, I often do a one pot wonder is what it's, you know,
love it.
But yeah, I mean, it's like same old, but we, yes, just change up the sauce or the, yes, spice and give it some zing. And it's like, whoa, a whole new thing. And I just, yeah, I tricked everyone that was dining with me. Like, it's actually the same thing we had last week, but we just used a different salsa or a different, yeah, herb addition.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that's what I teach my college athletes all the time. I'm like, pick a protein at the beginning or for the week, right? That you can use three or four different ways. Okay. So chicken, how can you use chicken? Well, you can do chicken salad. You could do chicken fajitas. You can do chicken with pasta, right? So, yep, that's a great opportunity, because if you then look at it, and again, let's preface this by saying there are some listeners out there where I've worked with you before. I know, like, you need a lot of variety. I get that. But if you don't need a lot of variety, literally you can go through two main protein sources a week for dinners and call it good. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, it's gold what you just said, Dina. Switch up your herbs and spices, switch up sauces if you're using sauces, olive oil, avocado oil, whatever. That's how you make it a new recipe, using almost the same exact ingredients, at least the same protein.
Definitely.
I would highly recommend that. Just makes it so easy.
I think it's a great challenge for all of us. Like, if you're feeling stuck in a rut, think about some of your go-tos, what you're quote unquote bored of.
Yes.
And just think of one swap or one addition. Change out the veg, change out the spice, add a salsa, you know what I mean? And just, yep, like, zing it up one simple way and make it a new meal.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So what we've done is we've shared the system of approaching meals and snacks. We've given you at least 2 to 4 ideas per meal and snack. What other things are we missing, Dee?
I think just remembering to keep this simple, and what the aim of all of this is to make your own meal preparation a little more streamlined, simple, automated, a little less intense on brain energy if you're feeling frustrated at your own food patterns or meal patterns, is adopting the system to really have that process in place to achieve your personal nourishment plans or goals.
Yeah, the system, I think, is key. So you're not just sitting there at the refrigerator like a teenager does for 10 to 15 minutes with the doors open, and they're just staring blankly into the refrigerator because they don't know. That's the thing. Like, you don't know what you don't know until you know it, right? And that's what we're trying to teach you, is that no part. The no part is the system. So you open the fridge and you're like, okay, I know I'm trying to find protein. Where's the, okay, got it. Now where's the color? Like, it should just flow. You know what I mean? Okay, so listeners, you've got the system, you've got some meal ideas. We'll put some great info in the show notes. Hopefully this helps you in your meal planning, meal deciding, if you are not meal planning, maybe even just grocery store shopping or online shopping with your pickup orders, right? I know it will provide you some great, great, great resources and some great golden nuggets, so you can take maybe at least a few of those steps. So let me just reiterate the steps before we leave. Step one, protein. Step two, color your fruits and veggies. Step three, whole grains. Step four, herbs and spices. Step five, hydration and fluids. Step six is your misses. So the key is trying to adopt the system and finding out how it works best in your life. Once you do that, you will make all your meals and your snacks super, super easy, and eventually super tasty also. It does take some experiments though. With that said, Dina, we've had fun on this episode, haven't we?
I know. I can't wait to go make a meal now.
Me too. Me too. I have a taste for an egg burrito for some reason. I think you kind of hit a string here. Anyway, listeners, thank you for listening. We will catch you on the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed that episode and got a lot out of it to assist you in your meal planning and how you approach your snacks and meals. Definitely want to hear how it goes for you or what changes you're able to make. Tag us on Instagram, ISN Podcast, or feel free to drop us a note, hello@insidesportsnutrition.com, over on the email. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Bob and I are chatting about the sports nutrition products, their composition, and what the glucose to fructose ratio has to do with all of that when we're looking at our fueling products. So that's coming your way next week. We would love for you to help us out. Give us a 5-star rating over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It does help us grow, continue to share our information and education, entertainment with other listeners like you around the world, and we are grateful for that. If you'd like more information about our nutrition services, our educational programs, and physiological testing services, you can reach out to me over at nutritionmechanic.com. You'll find some new info coming on the website pretty soon. Bob is over at energyperformance.com. That's spelled energyperformance.com. And of course, we'd love to connect with you over on social through our respective businesses or via the podcast. On Instagram, again, we're at ISN Podcast. And you'll find us on Facebook too, Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the hosts and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.